Nancy. Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. Wednesday afternoon, 12:30, pretty much on the button here. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'd love to hear from you here and hopefully help you out with whatever computer problems you might be having or computer advice that you're looking for. Give us a call, 395-1450. The phone lines are open, and you can also send us an email.
Yep, that's right. It's computerguys@whtc.com, and we'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer, go ahead. Again, it's computerguys@whtc.com. Send us an email, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
Or as always, Kev, our listeners, if they're tuning in today and they'd like to hear from us outside of our normal time on the radio here, you can always check out the podcast. Just the easiest way is if you have iTunes, just go to the music store and search for WHTC, and we'll pop right up there. You'll see The Computer Guys on there. So, again, thanks for tuning in here. We'll be on the air today until 1 o'clock. Give us a call, 395-1450.
Provided there's not a natural disaster that forces us to go run and hide.
Which, ironically, Kev, speaking of disasters, iTunes, if you use iTunes, the license agreement prohibits you from using it for terrorism.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of an off-the-wall little story here.
I'm just trying to think of an example of how you would do that.
Well, exactly. You also agree that you will not... there's an interesting paragraph in it, and it kind of says that you agree that you will not use these products for any purposes prohibited by United States law, including without limitation the development, design, manufacture, or production of missiles or nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons.
Man, that seems like a bit of a stretch.
The
question is, what if you played, if you were using iTunes to play music while you were constructing those devices, do you think that would be fall
under
there?
Well, that falls under manufacture, or while you're designing it.
Wow, that's kind of a scary thought.
So kind of a funny little thing. Nobody ever reads, and I know I'm as guilty as everybody else, those things that you have to say, yes, I agree.
7 pages long.
Or
fine
longer.
Fine print. You know, it's not very exciting.
It's all in legalese. Really, you can't even attention. Understand. It's not even English.
Exactly. Special.
So anyway, language. iTunes obviously is quite popular, although I would imagine nobody has ever read that license agreement. Also, Kev, is it time to cut the Ethernet cable?
Not quite yet.
A range of companies with wireless LANs are discovering that 50% to 90% or more of Ethernet ports now go unused, because Wi-Fi has become so prevalent. They look at racks of unused switches, ports, Ethernet wall jacks, the cabling that connects them all, the yearly maintenance charges for unused switches, electrical charges, and cooling costs. So why not formally drop what many have already discarded, the Ethernet cable?
Interesting.
There's definitely a right-sizing going on, says Michael King, the research director for Gartner. By 2011, 70% of all net new ports will be wireless. People are saying we don't need to be spending so much on a wired infrastructure if no one is using it. However, there is a debate because the wireless LANs, they're up to 802.11n now, but is that enough bandwidth?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Of course, Cisco had a rebuttal, who makes wired and wireless networking products, and they said it's penny wise and pound foolish to just say go wireless.
Yeah, because the reality is the amount of, in this, if all you're doing is sharing an internet connection, not a huge deal.
For home use.
Yep, you can
or
go,
even for small
even
business.
For small businesses, when all you're using that network for is, really getting online, it's not a big deal. You can go wireless. But if you're pushing large amounts of data across that network and you're using it maybe even for, voice over IP purposes, or, you've got databases that open across that network, you still can't beat that wired connection. Wireless,
for instance,
is great.
A small business typically is going to have QuickBooks as their accounting package.
Yep.
Definitely not recommended to have wireless as your main connection, because it's just not as reliable as the old
one. Yeah, I mean, even speed-wise, you'll notice a difference in performance. If the connection does drop while you're working with the file, you do risk, you know, corrupting the database, and that's not worth it. So, not time to abandon it yet. It's getting there.
In our office, Kev, the office itself is about 2,400 square feet or so. And we have, there are five of us full-time, one part-time. We have over, if you can believe this, 1 mile of Ethernet cables.
Yep.
But then again, we're not your average office.
We went over the top. So, if in doubt, and it's one of those things when you're building out, if in doubt, put a port there. Because you only get to do it once. You can do it after the fact, but you get to do it right once.
That's right.
So, might as well do it.
So, if you're thinking about, for your business, just going wireless, maybe not just yet. Not just yet. But then again, it is kind of annoying to see all those empty Ethernet ports. Even at our office, we definitely overbuilt. But what do you think? We're using probably 60% all the time?
Of the ports?
Of the ports, all the time.
Yeah, maybe 50.
Maybe 50?
Maybe
really?
50. Okay. There's a lot of unused ones. So, but hey.
Give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here. Also, Kev, there was a book came out a little over a month ago now. Never had a chance to do a quick review on it. It's about cloud computing, specifically through Google Apps.
Sure.
And love to talk about that in just a second here. But first, let's take this phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good, you?
Well, all right. Hey, I've got a question since we're talking about wireless hookups and such. And I hope maybe you guys have some ideas here, or I don't know, maybe I'll have to figure something else out. Here's what we've got going. I'm looking at someone who has Charter Internet telephone and cable TV. Charter has them hooked up going through two modems. One is a modem that I think is just used for the phone, and the other is a wireless modem router combination. And I'm just kind of wondering, why would you think that Charter would need to have someone hooked up to two modems? Why couldn't they just use one modem for everything?
Well, they could use one modem for everything. But the reason they do that is they work on kind of separate streams. And I think they do it because they want to make sure that whatever you're doing on the internet side doesn't interfere with the voice side. So essentially, if you were downloading a ton of information, it's quite possible that it would affect the voice quality. What they're doing is protecting that so the voice service is as good as possible. The other thing that I've seen, and I'm not sure if Charter's using the devices now, but a lot of times the phone modems come with a built-in battery backup. So if, in fact, the power goes out, there's a small battery inside the device that will power it for 6 to 12 hours. So that allows your phones, you know, provided that they're, you know, a wired phone or not just cordless phones, to continue working even when the power's out.
Sure.
So kind of for an emergency purposes type of thing. So a couple of reasons why they do that.
Okay, cool.
Hey, it's a great question, though.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks for your call.
Yep, bye.
And a lot of people ask us recently, Kev, a lot of people are making the switch, whether they go to all Charter or all AT&T or all Comcast.
Yep. All the providers
or where you can get it in Holland T-Square.
Bundling. Yep, that's right, where you can get it. Bundling those services, you know, in order to bring you everything at a slightly lower cost. You know, you get some really great cost savings when it comes to, you know, long distance with those, because most of those are voice over IP services, which, you know, they can offer you as many minutes as you want. It doesn't really cost them anything. So a lot of good options. And if you're happy with the voice quality and the level of service, there's no reason not to switch. Especially for home customers. So,
you haven't taken the switch, have you?
No, I haven't gotten around to it. We don't even use long distance. I think about it, though, because we use a phone card for long distance. And, you know, I kind of keep track of... I don't make any calls. My wife makes the calls. You know, when she's calling her parents or sisters or whatever. Sure. And I think, man, is it really worth it? You know, but you don't always make those calls. And so you'd have to subscribe every month for the service. So I think it's a wash in the end. Still got the old regular telephone line.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We don't even have one of those, Kev.
I know. You got your cell phones.
Yeah. Well, Kev, there's a book out called Google Apps Deciphered. So this is sort of a hot topic these days. Not quite as hot as these phone lines are, though. We got another call here.
Look at that. Let's take this.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yes. The one thing about Charter, though, is what we found out is that even though they bundle you up, they will raise your price and you will get nowhere if you call and ask about it.
Really?
Yep, that's
well,
bad.
Yeah, Charter, unfortunately, has, you know, they've been going through bankruptcy, and their customer service, especially over the last 12 months, has been less than stellar, I guess. I guess you could say, and you're definitely agreeing with that, so.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
How long have you had it, real quick?
About a year.
About a year, okay. Well, the other thing, did you have a sign a contract when you started or agree to a contract?
We didn't.
You didn't, okay.
No.
Okay, they're. I think with Comcast now, if you bundle it all together, they're doing a 12-month contract.
Okay, so, but no, can you get Comcast on the north side of Holland?
No, you only have one choice. It's either Comcast or Charter, depending on where you live around here.
And north side's all Charter, so.
Yep.
So there's no Comcast out there?
No, not there.
The other option is, depending on where you live, and I don't know exactly where AT&T has it on the north side, there is the U-verse, which is sort of similar to Charter where they bundle it all together, but it's not available everywhere around Holland just yet.
How long do you think it'll take Comcast to get out to the north side?
They won't. Unfortunately, with the way they have it set up, is it's just Comcast or just Charter.
Allowed to compete.
There's a
regulation in Holland. So unfortunately, as it stands now, that won't happen.
Okay, so Charter has you over a barrel.
Yep, and vice versa when you're in the other territory.
That's right.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yeah, definitely a frustration. And it's kind of weird lines, too, how they do it with Comcast and Charter. For the most part, it's City of Holland is Comcast and everything else Charter. But the lines are a little odd. I've had to make some calls places that aren't in this exact city, and sometimes it's Comcast. So, but, yeah, unfortunately, it's one or the other. You can't choose. Not much in the way of competition when it comes to that. That's why it's kind of nice that now that AT&T has the U-verse, you know, it starts at, I don't know, $59 a month for two of the services.
Sure.
Which isn't bad if you're looking for, you know, DSL and TV. But definitely had a lot of people who were pretty satisfied with that.
You know, especially they're constantly expanding their territory, whereas Comcast and Charter, they're kind of fixed. You know, if there's a new development going up, you know, they might go there. But, you know, AT&T is kind of launching their product, and so as such, they're always expanding where they're offering that. So it's worth checking.
So this book here, Kev, Google Apps Deciphered, really talks a lot about what is Google Apps and how do you deploy it to a small business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most small businesses are used to having a server where all of your information is stored, and you're used to connecting to that either if you're at home or if you're in the office. There are different ways to access that information. But a couple years ago, Google Apps came around, and you don't really need a server anymore. All you really need is a computer with an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the Google Apps webpage and you can log in and you can share and collaborate in real time with other people, and they can see the changes that you're making. If you're, you know, let's say, Kev, you're here in Holland and I'm off in California and we need to work on something together. That's always sort of been a problem in the past. Who has the document? Do you have it? Do I have it? We're emailing back and forth.
Yep.
Well, Google has done a real nice job with some of the basic features. Personally, I can't say I'm a huge fan of Google Apps. They're still developing it.
Yeah, there's some limitations.
But the one thing, if you are looking to do this for a business, apparently this is the best book out currently. So it's Google Apps Deciphered. The only thing that this book does not cover, it's definitely pro Google Apps. The Scott Grinneman here, he loves Google Apps. He thinks it's the greatest thing ever. Pretty much. But what it does not cover are the issues of security,
mm-hmm.
data security,
yep.
privacy, and ownership.
Mm, interesting.
You know, if you have your own server at your small business, I mean, you can secure it. If there's a breach, if somebody breaks in, or if something happens, your information is stolen, who do you have to blame but yourself?
Sure.
Whereas with Google Apps, I mean, they do a lot to make sure that doesn't happen, but you really don't have any control over that. Privacy. There was a little mistake a few months ago where they sort of let the cat out of the bag on a handful of things.
Yep. Didn't go over so well.
Documents that were shared were available to everybody. And that's not to say that that couldn't happen at your own business or you make a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that comes down to like control issues. You just have less control when you're not hosting it yourself or when it's not on your own device. So there's advantages, but you know, right now there's a handful of disadvantages that need to be worked through. So everybody has to just be informed of all your options before you make the leap.
Yep. The and then, of course, the third thing is ownership. You know, if all of your documents and your business is all on Google Apps, do you own that information?
Yeah, that might be one of those times to read that little disclosure.
Right.
And to actually figure out what might or might not happen. Because if somewhere in there Google says, we retain the right to...
And the reality is, you know, most of the time, that's not really a problem. But what happens if you have any type of sensitive information that or trade secrets for your business or...
Do you really want to throw them out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, we have seen a lot of businesses switching over to Google Apps for things like email.
Mm-hmm.
Google hosts your email. You can use your own domain for it. You pay $50 a year per user. We've seen some people who convert from an Exchange server, or they'll have another provider hosting their email, and they'll switch over to Google Apps. That's worked pretty well for that. It's easily accessible from things like the iPhone or smartphones.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. So if you're thinking about Google Apps for your business and you want to try to do it yourself, Google Apps Deciphered came out a couple months ago. You'll want to check that out.
It is kind of cool. We've talked about gaming consoles quite a bit in the past and how much the Wii has revolutionized gaming. And a lot of that has to do with the controller aspect. You know, having a motion-sensitive controller that really gets you into the game. Well, now there's something new. Microsoft has been working on, it's been kind of top secret, they call it Project Natal. It's a hands-free, full-body sensing control system that can be used to play games, watch movies, do virtual painting, and much more. Have you seen this yet?
I saw a picture of it the other day. It sort of looks like the little Wii sensor bar.
Yep, kind of sits on top of the TV there, and just except this time there's nothing to hold in your hand, whereas the Wii sensor bar is sensing the motions of the controller and communicating with that. This is just recognizing your body, and then you don't hold anything in your hand, so no more controllers flying through the TV, which could be a good thing. It's not known yet how much it'll cost or whether it's going to be bundled with the Xbox or sold as an accessory, but they've been working on that. Also, Nintendo and Sony both revealed plans for new advanced motion-sensitive systems of their own, so we will see a lot more in how we interact in these video game systems and potentially even onto computers. They might take some of this technology and bring it on in there, too.
A lot of news from Microsoft these days, Kev. Also, Windows Vista Service Pack 2 was released last week.
That's right. It was.
And there are a few significant additions that are included in Service Pack 2. Windows Search 4.0.
Okay, new search.
Bluetooth 2.1 Feature Pack.
Oh, yeah.
The ability to record data to Blu-ray media natively in Vista. Windows Connect Now is now in the Wi-Fi configuration. And there's also XFAT file system supports UTC timestamps, which...
It's good.
You know, that's the important one. So it also contains about 800 hot fixes. A lot of times when you have a service pack, it'll include a ton of fixes.
So one giant download instead of 30 or 40 little ones.
So it's definitely not the most exciting service pack release ever, although after installing it on a couple computers recently, I... Maybe wait another week.
Yeah, that tends to be
wait
the
another
way,
week.
Way things go. Is, you know,
put it on one yesterday, started blue screening immediately, so. Let's so just hold off on Service Pack 2 for Vista for maybe another week or two.
Yeah, let them work out a few bugs. I mean, if you're somebody who's got to run out there, you can always uninstall too, so not a bad idea if you want to try it to keep that in mind. Let's see, there was another thing. We've got a Windows 7 launch date, October 22. So that is a confirmed date for Microsoft's planning on Vista or Windows 7 to hit retail shelves and start showing up on new PCs. So this has been the operating system that we've been talking about for a while, their new one. A lot of great early research on this saying that it's going to be pretty good. So be fun to watch that happen.
Also, Kev, in addition to the more Microsoft news here, Bing.
Yes, Bing went live.
Bing.com.
Bing.com.
Also check it out. Previously known as Live.com.
Definitely so different. It's different than Live.com.
Yeah, it is, but...
I do really like the graphics when you go there. I like that. And the way that they're interactive.
Oh, you mean when you just type in Bing.com and you go there.
And you see that splash screen with a graphic, and the graphic changes daily. And then if you mouse over the areas, and right when the page loads, it kind of highlights a couple boxes. But if you go bring your mouse over those, it tells you a fact about whatever that screen is.
Hmm.
It's actually kind of interesting.
Right now, I just went to Bing.com, and it's a nice picture of a mountain here.
Yep, and here's one that says, park rangers use dog sleds to patrol this vast wilderness during the winter months. And then it has kind of a link to meet a world champion dog sledder.
Mm.
So some cool stuff. One thing I've really liked is the travel section. If you're planning on a trip somewhere, the travel engine that they've got here is pretty good. And they use this cool forecast or faircast technology, they call it, where basically it tells you whether they foresee, based on all the variables, that fares are going to go up, fares are going to go down, they're going to stay the same. So you know, gives you a little bit more information on whether it's a good time to buy that ticket you've been waiting to buy or whether you should wait or not. And there's a lot of easy ways to jump over to hotels, cars, cruises, all kinds of different things there. So check it out. It's just at bing.com and see what you think.
If none of those are reasons to use it, I'm going to start using just a little bit more just to give Google a little competition.
I changed my built-in search to Bing just to give Google a little competition. Mm. You know, it's better to have more than one player in the game. So.
Yep. This article here, according to the release of Bing here, Kev, says there's going to be a $100 million four-month advertising campaign.
It's massive.
That is a lot of money. They really, really want us to use Bing.com.
Well, and the funny thing is they say that's a part of the reason why Live didn't work out so well is because they didn't really advertise.
Really liked Live.com.
Did you?
Yeah, the maps were incredible. That bird's eye view on Live.com, it works now on Bing.com as well.
Yep.
But it was just so cool. You could zoom right in.
Yeah, they definitely better mapping.
Oh, way better than that crummy Google one. Although I think that they updated it recently.
The Google one?
The Google map of Holland. I can't remember. They did. So anyway, the first ad, which is set to debut tonight, Kev, get ready.
Oh, really?
Microsoft unveils search overload syndrome, the state of confusion brought on by search results that don't answer a user's question.
See, and that's what they're calling this. They say it's not a search engine. It's a decision engine. So they want to help you better decide.
Commercial starts with bleeps and blips and a montage of web video frivolity. Think cat playing piano. So maybe during television watching tonight, you'll catch that.
Or I'll just log on and find it.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, you?
Oh, I'm fine. I've called you guys before because my computer's like really, really slow.
Okay.
And I tried to do what you told me to do to fix it, and it's still really, really slow, and it's driving me absolutely crazy.
All right. Well, so the last time you called, we probably recommended that you remove some of those icons in the lower right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that didn't really do much, huh?
Not really.
Did you notice any difference at all, or?
No.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then the next thing is probably we'd want to take a look at your computer to find out if there's not enough RAM in there.
Okay.
Sometimes what'll happen is there are little programs that run in the background that you can't even see that'll really take over your computer, and you don't even know that they're running half the time, and it'll make the computer completely unusable.
Okay.
So if those didn't try it, if you just bring it by your office, we can take a look at it and find out for sure what's wrong with it and let you know if it's fixable or if it's just time for maybe a new one or what's wrong with it.
Okay. All right. And what are your hours?
We're there 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Alrighty.
We're on 32nd Street, just west of US 31.
Yep, I think I saw where you are. So.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Thanks
a lot.
Bye.
And that's definitely probably, Kev, one of the biggest, I'd say 50% of the computers that come to our office, it's slow.
Yep. And that happens over time when you install programs and, you know, things get downloaded, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And it just kind of causes things to slow down. And this is, you know, part of the reason why, you know, every couple of years, some people like to reformat the computer, give it a fresh start, make sure all the data is saved and all the important stuff. But basically to kind of start from scratch with just the baseline programs and build again. So,
Kev, an anonymous reader. This was a article from Slashdot, reports that malware was found on a brand new Windows netbook.
Wow.
And we'll tell you about that in just a second here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I just need to ask a question, if I may.
Sure.
Who around the Holland area builds websites for a good price?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who do that. Offhand, I don't have any numbers, but if you wanted to, I've got a few places written down at our office. If you wanted to give a call there later this afternoon when we're back,
okay,
I'd be happy to point you in the right direction.
I would like to get that done for a decent price.
What range are you thinking? Because you can get anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to on up from there.
Okay. How long does that usually take?
You know, honestly, we don't do web development. I'd probably defer those questions to whoever would do the development of that.
Okay. What is the number?
Yeah, call our office. Give it maybe an hour or two. Is 394-4940. I've got that written down. A couple of people you can call there.
I really appreciate that.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yep, the website's anywhere from there are some of the free online ones up to the sky's the limit. So
that's right.
Depends on the scope of the project as well. So here we go, Kev. Kaspersky Labs stumbled across this on accident. They purchased a new M&A Companion Touch netbook in order to test the new antivirus product targeted at the netbook segment and discover three pieces of malware on the factory-sealed netbook.
Now, what kind of netbook was this?
Companion Touch, M&A.
I've never heard of it. It's familiar.
But, you know, there are a lot of people getting into the game of these netbooks. So a little sleuthing turned up the likely infection scenario. At the factory, someone was updating Intel drivers using a USB flash drive that was infected with a variant of the auto-run worm. Installed along with the worm was a rootkit and a password sealer that harvests login credentials for online games such as World of Warcraft.
Wow.
To ensure that a new PC is malware-free, Kaspersky recommended that before users connect the machine to the internet, they install security software updated by retrieving the latest definition file on another computer and transferring that update to the new system, then running a full antivirus scan.
What a bummer. You've got to scan your brand new computer. Comes right from the factory infected. Ooh, not, that doesn't look real good for that company. So you may not want to buy from M&A.
M&A Companion Touch. I've never heard of it.
I haven't either. But maybe that's why.
They made a little mistake there.
That's right. They kind of screwed
nobody's
that one
perfect.
Up.
What can you say? Oops. Also, Kev, the Pentagon is hiring.
Oh, again? Maybe I should submit my resume.
They're seeking a new generation of hackers. Forbes reports on a new military-funded program aimed at leveraging an untapped resource, the population of geeky high school and college students in the U.S. The Cyber Challenge will create three new national competitions for high school and college students intended to foster a young generation of cybersecurity researchers. Contests will test skills applicable to both government and private industry, attacking and defending digital targets, stealing data, and tracing how others have stolen it. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
We didn't really have that when we were in high school. We had the robotics challenge, and that was about it.
And that was like late in the game. We didn't even get that for a while. So, well, we missed the boat on that one.
Oh, well, what can you do?
That's right. Go back to high school, I guess.
Well, Kev, we've got 1 minute left in the show here.
Anything
special
there?
We can save some of these stories for next week.
Sure.
Well, I'll just mention this one here. We already covered the Windows 7 launches October
22.
Yep. Acer is coming at, you know, how we just mentioned these little netbooks. Netbooks are really, really tiny laptops.
Yep. 10-inch screen or potentially even smaller.
Usually smaller. Android. They're going to start shipping.
Put Android on it. Yep. There's been talk about that Android for a while. So wait, that was Acer?
It'll be an Acer netbook. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, they've got the Triple E series, which there is kind of their basis of their netbooks. Some nice ones there.
Personally, so, you know my feelings on Acer.
I know your feelings on Acer.
Not a huge fan. No. I don't think they
you
make
know,
the
though,
world's
I,
highest
I
quality.
Think with the, I think with the netbook, nobody's making the highest quality netbook. So, you know, other
I'm
than,
just waiting
other
for the
than
day,
M&A.
I'm just waiting for the day where I'm in line at Thrifty's and I see them and the checkout is like a little add-on. They're getting so cheap.
Hung there on the rack next,
to,
on
the rack next
Snickers
to the Snickers
and the pantyhose.
And Skittles,
So anyway,
shavers.
That music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in or if you want to pass this on to your friends, check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that. Again, if you have Apple iTunes, WHTC into the music store, and you can download our old shows and listen to this week's show or anything you like. Also, if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. Well, thanks again, and we'll be back next week, Wednesdays, 12:30 to 1.